This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey you! Yeah you, in the car! Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
July 10, 2021. Catherine Bennett, epidemiologist, Chair of Epidemiology and the School of Health and Social Development at Deakin Uni. She talks to us about the outbreak in New South Wales at that time. And if you cast your mind back about 6 months, that was when New South Wales started on the rise to some really, really significant figures. She talks about, are they on track to manage the outbreak, and is the messaging clear enough?
Again. Hello.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Sorry, we had a technical glitch there. So 50, sorry, Catherine.
Catherine, just so that you know, we're in brand new studios and we are on top of it, but we're going to have a few little technical issues every now and then. So apologies for all of that.
No problem. Yeah, so 50, not great, but at the same time, probably not unexpected, given that they were going out now to the contacts of the large number of cases they found yesterday, with, their contacts also being now at high risk of being cases, and we're seeing some of those results come in today. What will be increasingly important over these next few days is whether the number, yesterday it was 29, the number that are people who are out of quarantine whilst infectious. That will be the real telltale sign of whether this is, quickly able to come back under control, or whether this is going to be a kind of a longer process of trying to contain this spread.
So, Catherine, as a clinician and as an epidemiologist yourself, what are your reflections on the way in which the New South Wales government has been managing this current outbreak in New South Wales?
Well, I should clarify, I'm not a clinician. I am an epidemiologist. I do think that they've been following the data really closely to try and understand the transmission. That's what you've got to do. You've got to look for any weak points emerging in the cases you're seeing and get on top of that really quickly. So I do think that's been a good response. I think there's been some mixed messaging still in the way they have rolled out the lockdown. There's been criticism over the retail venues not being closed down, but actually saying to people, don't go there. In fact, they haven't really appeared in many instances in those risk sites. They haven't really been associated with transmission. It's more people mingling across households, people going out in larger numbers when they are meeting outdoors. And I think tightening up the outdoor meeting starts to send a clearer message. This is serious, and everything right down to your household mixing is what we have to now be thinking about, because that's how the virus jumps from one household to the next and we get these numbers.
Do you think, Catherine, when the Premier and the New South Wales Health Minister has to very stridently say, no browsing, it concerns me. I want New South Wales to do well. I want them to come out of this. Do you think the messaging is right, in terms of, when you look at the images of the number of people that are wandering around Sydney most of the time and in shopping centres not masked, that must really concern you?
Look, compliance is everything. And I do think the challenge here is how you get people on board. And I think we've struggled with this. I think we've struggled with the messaging from the start. And I do think, the most important thing is you understand your community really well. And if the virus is in particular parts of your community where they're going to be different cultural understandings of what household means and, what compliance means, then you have to work with that community. And I think that's where we saw it in Victoria, when we had the public towers, we really struggled to work that through. And in the end, that really triggered a major change in the way we structure our health department with local units that are actually better engaged and embedded in the community. I think that's what matters most. Yes, confusing messages, if people say, oh, well, if I can still go shopping, then it's fine. That undermines some of the other areas where the transmission is actually occurring, which is, well, if I can actually go shopping, whether I can browse or not, I can still go over to my cousin's place because we're family. We're together all the time. That's where I think, the challenge has been in trying to get those messages through. So working with the community leaders is important, but we heard more about the police going into southwest Sydney than we did hear about the health department, with its community relationships, being on site, having testing in the community, working in those trusted environments. So I think there's just different ways we can approach it, because compliance, that's everything. The public health response, the public's behaviour, is what you have to work with here, because that's the mechanism for spread.
Catherine, we're nearly out of time, but I wouldn't mind just getting a comment from you about how you see the situation here in Victoria, and whether you think that we are sort of sufficiently on top of it to be able to move into the stage of more relaxed restrictions that we have at the moment.
Yeah, I think, we're sitting good at the moment. I do think, our recent outbreaks have tested and we've continually seen our public health response stand up to that test and the community. So I think we're kind of ready, and we can shift dial up, dial down if we need to at very short notice in Victoria. It's the one benefit, I suppose, of being well rehearsed and being able to do this quite quickly if needed. We have all of New South Wales as an orange zone, Sydney as the red zone. The permit system works. It's important that we do ask people to test, but at the moment we still have regional New South Wales as a buffer zone between us and Sydney, and we haven't seen that spread of either exposure sites or cases beyond the greater Sydney area. So
are you concerned about people coming back from school holidays from perhaps regional New South Wales and Sydney?
Well, that's where the testing matters most. And I think that's what they've been watching for. We're now, the last weekend, people if they were coming back, have probably come back. And I know they will be at the borders and checking for permits. The most important thing is, if people cross the border, that we know who they are and that they are tested. That's the thing. I don't think New South Wales in the regions is a risk. We haven't seen cases there. We haven't even seen exposure sites. It's really people coming out of Sydney. And that's where, your permit system, whether it's stopping people from leaving Sydney if they have to bunker down there for a while, or whether it's actually pursuing that at the borders or in Victoria, I do think that permit system, which helps us to identify who's been potentially exposed, and then managing that exposure from the broader Victorian community's point of view. So if anything happens beyond Sydney, if they start to see any movement into regional New South Wales in relation to exposure sites, for example, or looking like people are on the move, then I think we'll see the borders close very quickly.
Catherine, one of your colleagues only last night on national TV said that medical advice was being interpreted politically in New South Wales. What do you say to that?
I think it's interpreted politically in most places, quite frankly. I think there's
exactly
been a heavy
right.
shroud,
yeah.
a heavy shroud of politics around the science. And I do think the commentary is quite interesting, because the same decision can be made in different settings and talked about in very different ways. And in fact, there isn't that much difference between what's happened in one state and the next, as much as, it plays out in the media sometimes. But at the end of the day, some of the nuanced differences around language and so on, they then become the targets and the focus. But, yeah, I do think this is a time where we've never seen, science caught and wrapped up in politics to this degree that I can recall.
I want to ask you, Catherine, what's your idea on the whole Bunnings jab?
Look, I think there's a whole lot about, people feeling connected to community. And so when you do have somebody that you see as part of your community, somewhere safe, somewhere familiar, combining that with jabs or you know, I mean, we don't usually support alcohol as something that, you know, should be used as an incentive, but at the same time, you know, the conversations recently about the PA in Melbourne offering a beer to people who are vaccinated, I think this is something about local community making vaccination not only the norm and something people feel comfortable doing, but actually making it accessible. And that's what happens if you're looking at, you know, very local, easy to get to locations where people are anyway. And I think that's what we need to be focused on as we get, you know, more vaccine supply coming in, which is the good news.
Well, I suppose, you know, if you're going to get a bag of potting mix, you might as well get jabbed.
Well, it's convenient. It means you don't have to make that second run.
I know.
I've just had an update report. 26 infections occurred in the community.
Wow.
And 13 are unknown link. So 50 today in New South Wales. People, I suspect, will be really concerned about what's going on there at the moment.
Yeah.
Catherine, thank you very much.
Very,
for your...
very similar to yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much for your time again. Always great to have you on the airwaves. And perhaps when you have an opportunity, sometime in the near future when we can have you back on the airwaves, you might like to come and visit us here at our new studios here in St Kilda.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.